Hello and welcome to the PB and J Show. I am the PB, Patrick Butler, and joining me is the J, Jesse Huttmaker. Jesse, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well, Pat. How are you?
Can't complain, man. I'm just starting off the week, and like we all are, and kind of rolling through things. Had a pretty good day today and got a lot accomplished. I'm looking forward to recording tonight, and here we are.
Yeah, I've been looking forward to it as well. Kind of a weird day here today. I happened upon an article that I thought maybe would be of interest to you about that woman that woke up to a snake in her hotel bed.
Whoa.
Yeah. The funny thing is, the article, she said she thought it was her husband, and then she realized she was in a hotel. And then her fear of the snake kicked in, and it kind of got me thinking about different things. And also our friend Mark, who Mark Manor, who is a big fan of snakes, so kind of got me thinking about things.
No, well, first of all, that article, wow. And at what point did she figure this whole thing out? And then the fear kicked in. I don't know, but, okay. So, hey, listen, I'm not a big snake fan. I have a fear of snakes. That's for sure. Yeah, man, I think, okay. So fears change. I've grown up with a fear of snakes. Not a big fan of spiders either. I mean, those are big ones on the list for a lot of people. But have fears changed as we've gotten older?
Oh, I mean, I think you still keep your common fears. I mean, I can't imagine at any point in my childhood where I'm like, hey, let me play with this gardener snake. This is going to be so much fun. And, you know, oh, hey, you know, I do remember there was a kid that had a tarantula, and he would bring it for show and tell day, and the teacher literally got to the point where he brought it like three or four times, and she said, for the show and tell day, you have to bring something you haven't brought before. And the kid was just devastated. But yeah, he used to get the thing out and the goddamn thing crawl over him, and I'd be like getting as far away as I could, you know. So those fears, I still have those basic fears of snakes and spiders. But you know, I think I'd be a fool to say that I haven't developed new fears, and they're not necessarily of the insect variety, you know. Lots of different fears, you know. We've been talking the last two podcasts, our two-parter, about basically reinventing yourself career-wise. And you know, as someone who has lost their job a couple times in the past few years, that's always a fear, is not having a job and going into that. Really the unknown, and there is that fear of the unknown that is a true thing, and having to figure out what you're going to do and how you're going to do things and what risks are you going to take. And, you know, there's always that fear of not getting the job. You know, I mean, I can tell you stories of how many resumes I've submitted for things and not had anything. And you get to that point where your biggest fear becomes, is someone going to respond? Because your mental state is in such that you're not really fully capable of handling something like that.
No, exactly. Well, I agree with you. First of all, my my childhood fears are still in existence. Those snakes and spiders are not going anywhere further down the list. But now, as we hit this point in our lives, I definitely would agree with you that different fears have crept in various forms. I mean, You mentioned the job, getting a job, losing a job, or trying to get a job, and if you can get one. I think different fears have crept in too, in relation to health. I mean, we're at a point where, I mean, not to sound completely morbid, but I think it's fair to address it, but, mortality, man. I mean, just, you know, keeping in good health, death is approaching at some point. Don't want to think about it, but yeah, you have to think about it because it's a fear and it's just natural. But, at this stage of life, I'm thinking about health and trying to maintain good health and realizing that, hey, it's harder to keep in shape. It's harder to maintain good health and, or to bounce back, and new health issues pop up. And, I literally was talking to my doctor, a couple weeks ago. I've got a herniated disc in my back and some other spacing issues with discs have popped up. And I was talking to my doctor and I was like, seriously, that warranty ran out, didn't it? and she goes, yeah, you didn't buy the extended warranty, did you?
Yeah.
And I go, no, so help me.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I totally agree with you on that. You know, it's, I know we're taking this to the dark side and everything, but I tend not to try to think about the final outcome. But you know, every time I turn around, I, at least once a week, I say that, I'm reading about somebody that I went to school with or a friend went to school with, you know, that's no longer with us. You know, I'm facing down a health issue myself, as are you. My stroke a few years back really put things into perspective. I mean, I can't say that, you know, I'm not afraid of what lies ahead. I think I'm more afraid of what it's going to do to me. You know, I still be able to enjoy life at the way I do now. Those are my, I mean, quite honestly, those are my fears. And fears are, is my, enjoyment of life, and being able to do what I want to do going to not be there. You know, growing old, yes, that happens. But there's also, you know, people that are, you know, 70 years old, and you'd think that they're a 30-year-old by the way that they're out doing things and keeping active. And so I try to, you know, make sure that I keep my head clear mentally. And I think that's a huge thing, is I can tell when I'm sliding, and you know, of course our tendencies when you and I slide, it is to go dark, and you know, we listen to different songs that make us feel so much better about our current state and take us deeper into there. But I also think it's very therapeutic. And I think it's a very healthy, healthy thing to have more so the fears about, our own well-being and health and how we're going to cope with things and cope with a setback if we have them. I'm not sure if that makes sense, but I mean, that's kind of how I am on the situation.
Sure. No, it makes perfect sense, man. I mean, to your point, yeah, at any time, something could happen to us, anyone. And let's just say, as an example, that it's, you know, something health related that creates a disability where you need help or care. How can you take care of yourself? Or do you have someone to help you take care of yourself? It's a great fear. It's funny, growing up, you put all this stuff, you know, way out there in the distance, you know, like that won't be me forever. That, you know, that's not going to occur to me. You put it out of sight, out of mind. Even looking at your parents growing up, you're like, oh man, you know, at the time you think they're old, they weren't.
Right.
And later in life, as you see them age, you're like, oh wow, when is this going to occur to me? No, I mean, I definitely think about it a lot. It's definitely, I would rank it as a fear. Health related issues or disabilities or being able to take care of myself or take care of my family. All right, let's take the fear thing a little bit further. Do you have other outside fears, situational fears, things of that nature?
Hurricanes scare the piss out of me. Every time it rains in this city, due to the incompetence of our sewage and water board, I'm definitely afraid of rain now. Every time that it gets heavy, I start worrying. And if Beth is at home, first thing I do is like, what's it like there? What's it like outside? That's my big fear. I also, again, I don't want to go before my parents do. That's a huge thing for me. Something that plays on my mind a lot. I think that that's a big fear, and I fear that I'll never see the Minnesota Vikings win the Super Bowl in my life.
I don't think you will, my friend. I'm sorry to, no. Hey, I could say the same thing about the Chiefs. So, considering they won the year before I was born. So,
You were their good luck charm.
No, it well, it's funny about okay, so not funny, serious about situational fears. You mentioned hurricanes. I mean, obviously, I'm living in the Midwest, which is Tornado Alley. Now, at this stage with tornadoes, we go outside to try to film them.
Of course, of course.
it's just amazing. And but you know, I still take them so I take warnings so very seriously because we've seen so many issues pop up. Where it wasn't the classic old, here it comes. There's been a lot of stuff that has been happening so rapidly that you can't afford to mess around with it. So tornadoes definitely are a big fear, even to this day, even though I've grown up with them. And again, not to go dark, but have to. I mean, yet again, yesterday there was another, shooting, and it still blows my mind that these things are so commonplace right now. And once again, it's easy for anybody to go, well, that happened somewhere else. But it's like, man, it can happen anywhere. And I don't want us to necessarily go down that path. We're just talking broadly about fears here. But that's still something now where I'm literally starting to, I feel like we've become conditioned to start to be even more aware of our surroundings because of the fear of something like that happening, which is frightening to think about.
Yeah, exactly. You hit it. Ever since the Las Vegas shooting, like every concert, every enclosed thing that I go to now, I'm making sure that I'm well aware. First thing I do when we find our spot, where are the exits? Where is the escape plan? You go to festivals, and Beth and I go to a lot of them because there's a lot of free festivals around here. And I'm always now making sure, and this is before, the incident yesterday, but I'm always making sure of where am I going? Where is my getaway? Am I going to my car or am I going to come back to my car? Are we getting the hell out of the area and then letting things calm down and then coming back, just trying to figure things out with that. And yeah, that is a fear. I mean, there's also that fear now. You never know. You can't really fully let yourself go to enjoy something because, is it that guy that you accidentally bumped into because there was no way possible to get through? Is he the one that's going to get upset, or, those type of fears, yeah, those I find those to be really, really the troublesome ones because that plays in your brain the whole time. It's like, you go to a concert and for 2 hours you're constantly like, kind of scanning the room to see what else is going on and what way do you got to get out if you have to, looking around behind you to see what it's like behind you, and yeah, it does totally take away from the enjoyment of things.
No, it's, I mean, it's crazy, man, to think that we've made the jump from spiders and snakes to this. But it's, you know, it's just interesting as you get older and you become aware of these type of issues or they start to affect you, how fears creep in and play a different role in your life versus just, you know, I want to say simple fears. I don't want to diminish someone. If they have great fears of spiders and snakes, we've used that as the example here. But I'm just saying that's a simple example of a fear versus now we're talking about really broad situational fears. And it's amazing that that's the world we live in, man. I
Yeah,
mean,
I mean, it truly is. That's, you know, I mean, I have a lot of people my friends that live in other parts of the country, and or when I'm interacting with a customer, they always ask me, "Are you afraid?" You know, and I was like, "No. What I'm afraid of living in New Orleans is our infrastructure and the things that can't be controlled." You know, I don't walk in fear. I don't, you know, when we go out at night, I don't think of those things as being legitimate fears. I know they're out there that they possibly could happen, but I'm thinking more on the catastrophic fear side of things, because those are the ones that just shoot up out of the blue, you know? I mean, anywhere in America, somebody can get mugged, you know. That doesn't have to do with what city you live in, and you know that can happen anywhere. It happens anywhere, but you know when you go into the events, you don't. You have to now condition yourself, and those are the kind of things. And you know, I haven't let it get to me to the point of like I'm not going to go to this thing, but it's one of those when I'm there in the moment, I have to make sure I'm aware of what's going on. And hopefully there's not any spiders or snakes there, because then that would be like incredibly odd and awful.
Double and triple,
Yeah, yeah,
double and triple fears.
yeah, yeah.
All right. Any other fears that we haven't covered here, man?
I mean, I think, you know,
Okay, I got one for you. Hold on. I
all right.
apologize for interrupting. It just dawned on me. I forgot about this. I think I'm definitely getting past the stage, man, where I have this fear of how I may look when I go out. If I've got to go to the store, if I've got to run around, if I got to do something. I think in the past I may have, you know, been like, "Hey, I should make sure I look this way or be dressed in this manner." And now I'm like, "Nah, screw
Yeah.
it." I don't really give a shit.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think living in New Orleans, you're like, I mean, you see everything. You're like, really? I mean, I'm worried about my shirt that has a big paint swatch on it. And I got people wearing two different slippers and their pajamas from the time that they were 12. Yeah, you know, I mean, I guess, you know, the other thing is, and you have kids, and so I totally get this. I have, you know, dogs, and I always fear for them, you know, like, especially with the animals. I mean, you know, the dogs, although I like to have conversations with them, they can't come up to you and say, "Hey, Dad, there's this really weird thing in my paw, and it's causing me pain every time I walk." You know, all you can do is look at their body language and see if they're wincing. You know, so I always fear about that when we're out taking them for a walk. I always, you know, worry about what they're gonna sniff, or you know, when they try to get into the little woods, if you know something's gonna be waiting for them. So I mean, I have those kind of fears. Makes me a more alert walking then, because I'm like, no, oh no, don't go there, you know. So I mean, I got that, and you know, just that. I think that's the thing, you know. Those are just the fears, you know. I don't try not to dwell on them and let them control my life, but I do keep them in the back of my head and constantly kind of try to make myself aware of things.
No, absolutely. You know, with kids, it goes without saying that that's my number one concern is their safety and well-being, and I have nothing but fear for that maintaining that, and it's just, but I've also, to your point, I can't, with all this, I'm definitely in a place where fortunately I can, you know, have control of that and not let any of those fears kind of overwhelm me and control my life to the point where I can't even function or can't allow them to do things or myself to do things. But it is wild, man. It can be a lot. It adds up. It seems like there's more and more crap every day to be fearful of.
Oh, yeah. You know, and I mean, of course, you know, I mean, you know, my mom, she's like, it's like when I talk to her, it's like there's fear of everything, you know, and I'm like, I just can't even think about that, you know. She's like, oh, did you know this and this and this and this happened? I'm like, yeah, those happen. You know, those things can happen every day. You can walk down the street and a huge tree branch could fall and crush you. And shit happens, you know. Those are things I just, if that happens and that's how I go out, well, fuck, you know, it's, you know, just let it be known that I had no fear of a tree branch falling on me on a calm Wednesday afternoon, you know, so, you know, yeah, I call that ignorance, but, you know, that's one of those things I just, I'm not going to worry about or think about, you know.
Fair enough, my friend. I fear we're running out of time here. So let's transition into the punch list, what we're watching, listening to, reading, and, of course, drinking. And where would you like to start?
Let's start with the thing that I've been really slacking on. Let's talk about reading.
All right. Fair enough.
I jumped back in to the Beastie Boys book because it was the 30th anniversary of Paul's Boutique. So I picked that back up, and I the book, it's just the whole, because before I know it, I'm burning through the whole out, the catalog, the albums, and then I'm like into the remixes. And so, you know, I'm really enjoying the book, but it's also like, it's danger, you know.
That's a cool book. I mean, the way they put that thing together is kind of cool. Just different, but it I like it because it allows you the opportunity to dig back into the catalog and really just take that section by section, you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely.
I am still actually just finishing that, the book I mentioned previously, The Bridesmaid's Daughter. I took a little break because I was busy and kind of tied up with things. So I'm finishing that and really enjoying that read and really helped me to kind of put perspective on how this woman is dealing with mental illness within her family and kind of the fear she had, quite ironically here, of getting that fact, you know, having that fact known by others. So really good stuff. All right. Well, okay. Switch gears. What are you watching, man? Where are you at?
Well, I mean, I'm watching a lot of different things, but I find out that every year, like I mentioned, that I'm watching, you know, this, just a new season of it. So I'm going to go to something that I told you about, and this shit just kills me. Letterkenny. This shit just kills me. Like, at the end of every show, I'm like, oh my, what the fuck, you know? There's the main character is so deadpan, and I think you said that the dialogue, it's so clever. And the other night, there was one of the guys thought it was Kraft Beard instead of Kraft Beer. But then, like, for the next 2 minutes, they're all saying these, like, zingers of beer names. And there were some really, really damn good ones. Like, and I expect a beer to appear pretty soon. And the beer that they drink in the movie, or in the show, now is actually being produced by that the company that they drink. But that... It's just such a bizarre show.
Well, you got me on that show, and it's crazy, man. I mean, just every episode is filled with just line after line, and the way it's delivered is so spot on.
Oh yeah. And
Nice,
was
all
it?
right.
I was walking down the street the other day. Like every time that everything I say to Beth now, I make sure I say it in that like that. And she's just like, oh God, what the hell? What have you been watching?
Well, I have to admit, I had the couple days to myself where the wife was out of town and I had nothing but time. And so, new show on Prime dropped, and I was really kind of awaiting this one just because it's a different take on a genre that has been so popular right now, which is superheroes. And on Prime, the show is called The Boys, kind of a different name for a superhero. Show, but there's a reason behind it. But it's completely different, and it will catch you off guard in the sense that the premise is based on the world we live in currently, if they had superheroes, but it shows a completely different side to them. Where what if they just weren't on the complete up and up, and they projected that image to the public, but the company they worked for was making just boatloads of money off of their imagery, and the things they do are extremely gritty and raw and real. And the show is really well done in the sense that, you look at, the Marvel stuff in DC, and it's good, and some of it's kind of dark, but not that dark. And even Deadpool, which is just filled with, one-liners, which, it's just a joke fest. This stuff is pretty gritty and raw, and is actually well written and well produced. And I love it because it's a completely fresh take on the superhero genre. It definitely not for everybody. I would not say it's for everybody, but what I would say is if you're into superheroes and want a completely fresh take, The Boys is a good one.
Yeah, it's on my watch list. I just got to get through a few other things before I head on into that. Listening to.
Well, I was with some friends over the weekend, and we were hanging out on a boat, and we were listening to music, trading off music. And my friend said, "Hey, have you listened to this guy, Desure?" And I'm like, "What's his name?" And it's Desure, and he used to be the manager for the band Midland, the country band Midland, and he decided to kind of branch out and put his own music onto a record. And I'll tell you, he in certain songs, he takes a striking resemblance to Ryan Adams, and just in some of his vocal delivery and the way the songs the sonically sound. But I was listening to his first EP and really liked a couple songs off there. Really kind of a cool take, and especially falls into that singer-songwriter genre that you and I enjoy. And so, Desure, that's his name. I don't know if I gotta look into it to see if that's his last name or not. I don't even know, but kind of cool stuff. He's got a great song on there called Los Angeles that I really dig. So that's what I got. What do you got?
Well, I've been intrigued by Orville Peck for several months now. For those not familiar, it's not his real name, but he wears like what's his name? Like what's the Lone Ranger type masks, and he's got some that like totally mask his face and they're frayed like fringe, but it's really like nice classic country western in like the vein of Johnny Cash, Waylon Jennings, even a hint of Roy Orbison from time to time in there. But it's I was like, man, what's the deal? I saw the album cover like in January or February. I'm like, that's an odd album cover. And I'm like, oh my God, that's how the guy performs. And it was one of those that I put off getting. And then I was like, all right, I finally got to get it. I need to hear it. I'm really, really enjoying it. I don't know who he is. That's not his name, I guess he used to be in punk bands, but he won't say which ones because I'm guessing that'll give away his identity. But it's pretty cool. It's definitely not your typical Wrangler jeans and Cry Me a River country. It's kind of just what I kind of what I needed right now to listen to. So Orville Peck.
Nice. Well, most importantly, as we finish out the punch list, what are you drinking?
I had to go back to the basics. We went out to a really nice restaurant Saturday night to celebrate Beth's birthday belated with her father and his wife. And there's like all these fancy drinks, and I'm like, I don't know. It sounds good, but a lot of those are sugar bombs, and then a lot of them are just you go down that path of you just by like three or four, you're not coherent. So I'm like, let's just stick to the one that got us there. And I went with the old vodka tonic and had a nice easy time with things. And then I did finish it off with it was coffee and what the hell did they put in there? It wasn't Irish coffee. It was coffee and oh gosh, they're after dinner drinks. Oh shit, I can't think of it. But one of them was like an almond flavored liqueur and something else. But it was really good. Not something I needed to be drinking at 9 o'clock at night because I could not fall asleep Saturday night. But it was
Kahlua?
I don't know what the hell it was, but it was good. I should have looked it up, but I
All
wasn't
right.
thinking about it. What have you been fancying?
Well, the latest and greatest was as I was visiting friends and spending time with them on the lake and hanging out, I emptied out a bunch of extras in the fridge and loaded my cooler as I went to join them. And the predominance of the beer was filled with Blue Moon's mango wheat. I had a bunch left over, so I plowed through those for sure. And it was great on a hot day on the lake. It made for easy drinking, so polished that baby off, and it is in the fridge no more. So Blue Moon mango wheat, he's a good one.
Very good, very good.
Well, and on that note, we have come to the end of another PB&J show. Jesse and I want to thank you. We appreciate everyone taking the time to take about 30 minutes of your day, night, morning, or whenever you find time to listen to us. We appreciate it. We look forward to talking to you again, and we will real soon. Jesse, thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Also, we need to thank everybody for all the feedback and conversation they've been striking up about our last couple podcasts. I know personally that it really keeps me really looking forward to doing this and trying to think of what we can continue to do to keep people thinking and talking and reaching out to us about things. So I want to thank everybody that's reached out to me and to you for doing that, and that it's really appreciated.
Absolutely. Keep that feedback coming. And on that note, don't let your fears consume you. The PB&J show is a Find the River production. Thank you guys for joining us. We'll see you real soon. Take care.